There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Lots for us to do on today's show. Of course, you are a big part of the program. You're an essential part of the program on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. Now, I'm looking on the text line right now from a texter that said, if any of the listeners are heading to get their kids, they're directing traffic to the Daphne East Elementary for the middle schoolers, too. Thank you, texter, for sending that note there and the information. The story that texter is talking about, this from WPMI, said, according to an email sent to parents of Daphne Middle School, the school has been evacuated due to an anonymous threat as of this morning. Daphne police also posted that they're investigating a threat at the school. Here's what they sent. Quote, we are currently investigating a threat at Daphne Middle School. All staff and students have been evacuated. Parents are urged not to respond to the school. Officers are diverting responding parents to, Tryon Park? And that's where I guess they're doing the pickup. All right, so, and then this came from Kerry Edwards, principal at Daphne Middle School, said parents at this time we were evacuating the building. We had an anonymous threat called in, and as a precaution, Daphne police are investigating. We will update you soon when the all clear is given. Thank you for your patience and understanding. Daphne East Elementary is in lockdown, according to the email from that principal as well. So that's going on right now, and like this texture says, the traffic is very bad. You can imagine as parents try to get there. You know, leaving work, doing whatever they have to do to get there. And once again, this texter says, if any of the listeners are heading to get their kids, they're directing traffic to the Daphne East Elementary for the middle schoolers, too. And I know Leanna will be watching this and Dalton as well. As there's more information comes out on this, or if y'all are there getting kids, once you get your kids, you're in a safe place to text or call in. Let us know what you're seeing there as the story is developing as we get started with Midday Mobile on this Friday. All right, so we'll keep our eyes on that. Yeah, coming up later on in the show, and it depends exactly, kind of they're doing votes, you know, because that's kind of one of the things they do, other than just grandstand, one of the things they do in Congress. But they got a bunch of votes going on right now. Sometime this hour, AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl will join us by phone from Washington. A couple questions for him here on this Friday. We'll get to that. Also, coming up, what a story. A story about spending time with your kids. Also, the story that nets out a record alligator gar. Keith Dees will join us later on in the show today. Starting off with the national story that's getting the most attention right now is from this one from Fox News. I mean, it's been reported everywhere. Just picked one. It said a California court on Friday released surveillance and body cam video of the October 2022 attack on Paul Pelosi. They point out husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at their San Francisco home. So this is the thing that, right, there's much discussion on this, right? We had this. Now the video is out. The video that said the San Francisco County Superior Court made the footage public after Judge Stephen Murphy denied a request 2 days earlier by prosecutors to keep it secret. The October 28th, 2022 attack sent Paul Pelosi, 82, to the hospital for emergency surgery for a skull fracture. One portion of the footage shows police knocking on the door of the Pelosi's home before the door opens to reveal Paul Pelosi and suspect David DePape. Let's play this. We'll play some of the audio from the video. The video, it's a body cam video. And I'll tell you right now, it was really strange. And then it gets violent pretty quickly. Let's go. We're going to play. It's about a minute here of audio from right when the officers walk up to the door. We'll roll that here.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good.
Hi. Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey. Hey.
What is going on
right now? I'm not getting an answer. I'm calling.
Bro.
Edward 14 Edwards in backup code 3.
Code 3 backup at
26. Give me your hand. Give me your hand.
40 Broadway for 14
Edwards. 14 Edwards in medics code 3 as well.
I mean, that sound right there, really creepy there at the end. And by the way, just more kudos on my friend. Dalton did an edit to that video, to the audio that came from the video, to take out the multiple curse words there. He did that in about 2.5 minutes. The video's a minute and a half itself, so... not surprised, but continue to laud him for that. Amazing. Thank you, Dalton. So you can see the video. And when you watch this video, the strange thing is when the door opens, they knock on the door. This is like the descriptions have been, right? We talked about the different police reports and the descriptions, what happened. It lines up with that. It seems to be this DePape, who's a standing in the door, and it's Paul Pelosi has his hand on the hammer, so does DePape. And the second, and you hear the officers say, drop the hammer, which I don't know if that's the right thing for them to be saying, to turn a phrase. And then when he says, drop the hammer, he says no, and that's when law enforcement goes in. Further in the story here, it says, DePape has... I know they say pleaded, and I know you're supposed to say pleaded, but I'll go old school and say pled. DePape has pled not guilty to all state charges in the case, including attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, and elder abuse. I like the fact they throw elder abuse in, too, because he's old, right? Like, to me, elder abuse is not taking care of your older parents or grandparents. You've already hit the guy in the head with a hammer. I don't know if it's about him being elderly, but it's, he's pled not guilty to attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon, and elder abuse. He's also pled not guilty to federal charges of assaulting an immediate family member of a federal official and attempted kidnapping of a federal officer for alleged home invasion. Did y'all know that was another thing? You know, when law enforcement gets you on one thing, you think, oh, they got you on it. Then they go, yeah, by the way, while we're here, you also did that, da, 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 da. They know the laws. The 42-year-old was arrested for allegedly attacking... I know, I'm going to read the story as is, but now I've watched the video. Unless it's the best deep fake that has ever happened, there's no allegedly. But the 42-year-old was arrested for allegedly attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer inside Pelosi's San Francisco home. Representative Nancy Pelosi was in Washington, D.C. at the time. Fox News was among the news organization pushing for the video's release. Pat yourself on the back there. When San Francisco police arrived at the home at 2:30 a.m., they found Pelosi in his pajamas and an intruder wearing shorts, sneakers, and a sweatshirt, according to court filings. Encounter lasted just 15 seconds from when Pelosi opened the door to the officers when the hammer attack took place, according to the filing, recorded on body cameras worn by two responding officers. So, this is from the indictment. It said two officers opened the door to see the foyer of the Pelosi residence. Mr. Pelosi wearing a long sleeve shirt, DePape in shorts, running shoes, and a sweatshirt, and DePape and Mr. Pelosi jointly gripping the hammer. The indictment reads, one of the officers ordered them, and you heard that part, to drop the hammer, and DePape replied, nope, wrestled the hammer. Because remember, in this, you'll see this video, they both have and it looks like DePape has got like the business end of the hammer. And then Paul Pelosi has the handle. He says, wrestled the hammer from the 82-year-old's grip and then cracked him on the head, causing a skull fracture and other injuries. I mean, wherever the spin on this has been, I've the whole time I've been saying, this man was hit in the head with a hammer. I mean, you could straight up just have killed him. Said police immediately tackled DePape and called an ambulance to treat Pelosi, who was bleeding from a head wound. Investigators also said that DePape researched homes of Pelosi and two other targets on an alleged hit list before breaking into the House Speaker's $8 million Hilltop Pacific Heights mansion. So, There you go. So the video is out. You can watch it here. It's interesting to see the video, having read the police accounts and reports, right, that so many of us had talked about on the show with this, to see what really happened. It's pretty, I mean, it's like calm and then extremely violent in just a second. I guess that's what the video can show, that the, you know, the accounts from the officers really didn't show us how they couldn't, I guess it wasn't described enough in that it went like from zero to 116 in a half a second. All right, so we'll get some comments on that, but that's breaking news as of today. That video's out. We could post that up, and probably already have it up on our Facebook page, because Leanna's great about that. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Read a couple of these texts here before we go to the news, and then we'll be back to discuss more of this. Dave in beautiful Gulf Shores says, Sean, we need like 75% remote school. I think it's coming. Robot teachers, too. Japan's got robot nurses and robot cats for their old people. Now they have robot teachers. I think it's inevitable, I think. Kids have their noses buried in their phones all day anyway. Might as well learn that way. You know, Dave, the remote learning thing, I think I talked about this when the kids were sent home, you know, for the COVID stuff. So just in my little world, my two children, I had one that did just fine with it. Was kind of okay with it, did just fine. I had one that it was very bad. Like, so two, both, you know, individuals, but both, you know, cut from Sullivan cloth, that the remote learning, the online learning, one was fine with it. One was, it was a disaster. So I don't know, but maybe, Dave, if that's the new thing and they grow up with that system, maybe that's fine. Also coming up, if we get time, well, we might get time. Depends on when the congressman calls. If not, we'll do it in hour number two. More information out on, you know, and some of this information you've probably heard before. Some of it might be new, about the amount of money in the Brett Favre story out of Mississippi. The amount of money and how widespread what they're talking about this corruption is in Mississippi, with welfare dollars going to volleyball facilities. It's something. I want y'all to hear about this too, and we'll put that story up on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. All right, news coming your way. We're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:23 on this Friday afternoon, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Said all that stuff. Let me go ahead and say this. Y'all say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And you got a really cool truck to talk about this on this Friday. What you got?
We do, Sean. We just got it in yesterday. It's a 2008 Ford F-550. It's got a 20-foot flatbed on it, which you can put stake bed, you walls on the sides if you wanted to. And it's got a Tommy lift, which the Tommy lift alone is worth gold. This can be used for a landscape company, construction company, any kind of plumbing company, any company. It's just an all-around great utility vehicle.
You know, it's something that's great you point out over time, that you have a great selection of, you know, gas misers and mid-size and full-size SUVs and other trucks, but you get these work trucks in with great regularity. So people looking for their business or farm or whatever should check with you first before they go elsewhere.
Well, I mean, if somebody's wanting to sell something or buy something, we do a lot of motorcycle business and boat business and motorhome business. People don't realize that. So we're kind of a one-stop shop for anything. We got access to whatever you want.
All right, y'all, go see them. Give them directions to come find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. I'll go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. I've always wanted to have no reason. Well, I kind of could make a reason. A semi-reason to have a flatbed. But, you know, like so my grandfather had a flatbed in the old days on his farm. And I don't know that I thought it was cool. But in retrospect, all these decades later, I'm like, man, if I had a flatbed, the things I could be doing with the flatbed, be big excitement. Let's see here. Anything new? I guess nothing new yet. People have been texting in. I guess that, Daphne Middle School evacuated after a threat, and Daphne East Elementary is in lockdown. We're just watching that story. If we get more information, we'll pass along. We did from the text line have suggestions here for if you're listening, you're a parent heading there. This texter said if any of the listeners are heading to get their kids, they're directing traffic to the Daphne East Elementary for the middle schoolers, too. And some pictures of the traffic there. We don't have any other update other than what we read at the beginning of the show. And from Daphne Police, they said, we're currently investigating a threat at Daphne Middle School. All staff and students have been evacuated. Parents are urged not to respond to the school. Officers are diverting responding parents to Tryon Park. So there's that part. All right. Coming back here on the robot school. Just remember, Sean, the COVID remote school procedures and equipment were almost created on the fly. Imagine if it's designed like that. I'm actually excited. I was a kid once like you. Didn't you want a robot teacher? I don't think I did, because my thought press, Dave, when I think about robot teachers, I'm thinking this a product of my age. I think RoboCop, right? And I know it's going to be shocking to y'all, but sometimes I would cut up in class. And I mean, I was fearful of quite a few of our teachers, but I mean, if it was like a robot that could just grab me, and, you know, I'd be a little more worried. All right, Jace, why wouldn't Pelosi want the body cam footage released? I mean, I don't want to be seen across the world being attacked, but with all the nut job conspiracy clowns out there who are saying this is his gay lover, doesn't this kind of shut the book on that? I think so. And, you know, the report, Jace, I heard in the beginning, shut the book on that. People say, he's in his underwear. I have many calls. Okay, he was in his underwear. The guy was asleep. I mean, you know, I mean, you're wearing your underwear. You go to sleep. He had a shirt on. He pulled a shirt on or whatever. I don't, it all seems very, you look, if you look at it and watch this video, the kind of the look in this DePape's eyes, I mean, he's, I'm not saying I'm a clinical, you know, physician on mental state here, but I'm somebody who's looked at some people before and said, yeah, that person has nothing to lose. You know, that look, it was one of those. And I mean, here, the cops are right there at the door. I mean, they're right there, and they say, okay, drop the hammer. And he says no and gets his shot in with knowing that, I don't know what he was knowing, that he couldn't escape, but went ahead and did the crime right there in front of the officers. That's why I know they have to put allegedly. I get it. I've been in this business for a while. Somebody said, oh, they have to say, I get it. They have to say allegedly. I know that. But, I mean, when you watch his video, he did it. You watch it, and he did it out there. I don't know, though, Jace, why they – there may be something in the prosecution, something I don't understand, maybe because the defense attorney, I was about to say, because then the information would be available to the defense attorney, but the defense team, of course, would be able to see this before court. So I really don't know the reasoning why the prosecution were dragging their feet. And sometimes it might have been, you know, that Pelosi would have been fine with it, but the DA there or whatever says no. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Oh, and speaking, hey, and this is true, you know, Dave in Gulf Shores, you know, you had the story about summertime vacation being cut short for next school term. Maybe the robots wouldn't care about that, robot teachers. I think KRG story says summertime vacation will be cut short next school term, specifically for teachers in Mobile County. Newly proposed calendars for the 2023-2024 school year have Mobile County public school teachers going back to the classroom in July, and they're right here, and some teachers aren't happy about it. Yeah, probably not. There are two draft calendars, but both have teachers coming back on July 31st. Now, let me say this. That is July, and technically, but when you have the headline, I mean, it says July 31st, which is a day sooner than last year. So really what we're talking about is a day difference. I mean, the headline can get you like July, you're picturing like, you know, teachers doing Independence Day and then going right back to school. It's the 31st, so it's just a day sooner they did before. It said a spokesperson for the Mobile County Education Association said some of their members are concerned because it feels like every year school is starting back earlier and earlier. Probably because there's days off for all kind of stuff, right? Said Mobile County Board of School Commissioners will host two public hearings on the calendars. First one will be January 30th. at 3:30, because everybody can make that, at the boardroom of the MPSS Central Office. Second will be February 6th, same time and place. All right, news is next. Coming back, we hopefully sometime in the next half hour or so, we'll get a check-in from Washington from AL1's Jerry Call.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Yeah, to update the story from earlier, I'm seeing some people who just tuned in, like Daniel, about what's going on in Daphne. It's what, I guess, was going on in Daphne as they had a threat coming in. Threat came in sometime before we went on there, sometime mid, maybe later on this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. They said a... So they were investigating. Daphne police said they were investigating a threat. Middle school had been evacuated. Daphne East Elementary was in lockdown. But let me, before we go any further, say that has been cleared. Looking at this from Daphne Police Department over on Twitter. Thank you, Dalton. Daphne Middle School has been cleared and students will be returning to class. The investigation is ongoing. An extensive search of the school has been completed. So there you go. An update on that story. So good. Good news. It's I wonder how many. I mean, this happens. It happens, you know, a good bit with these calls in. I got to imagine with the technology out there, figuring out. I mean, I know the kids have access to technology too, but I mean, to figure out who's phoning this stuff in. I think what do we always say? We can get the a video feed from Mars, right? But, you know, so I think they probably could track down Johnny or Jimmy or whomever is calling in this kind of crap. All right. To the text line here, and then and by the way, at some point we'll probably break in when the congressman can get there. They had a vote just like 5 minutes ago called, so we'll see. Hopefully we'll get them on here in this half hour. Watch for that, and then we'll get them on right away. So from the text line, oh, so Tusker says, who cares? And I don't know about what we're talking about, but who cares? But can we please talk about the Pfizer bombshell? Man, you know, Tuskers, I was listening to Dan and Dalton this morning. I mean, like, with rapt attention. And what Tuskers is talking about is the Project Veritas, latest Project Veritas video here. This from the NBC 15 site. It comes from TND, which I don't know what TND is. It says an undercover investigation from Project Veritas reportedly caught an unsuspecting Pfizer executive admitting his suspicions about the origin of the COVID-19 virus, which has killed nearly 7 million people worldwide since being introduced. Don't you? You know, you couldn't have used that word 2 years ago. You're introduced. I'm like, Jordan Tristan Walker, who is allegedly Pfizer's director of research and development, strategic operations, and mRNA scientific planning, was apparently caught on an undercover recording admitting he and other Pfizer executives have discussed mutating, in quotes, end quote, COVID viruses in order to develop tailored vaccines to treat them. And I'll read the copy here. I know that go back and listen to Mobile Mornings. You can hear the audio. Here's what it says here, quoting Walker from, this is the Pfizer director of research and development, the R&D guy, and you've got the cameras. You know how Project Veritas, you a lot of times will set up like a date scenario or something. This and then they let the people talk about what they do, and then, you know, well, this is what happens. The quote here, this is the Pfizer person saying, you know how the virus keeps mutating? Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it, COVID variants in brackets here, ourselves, so we could create preemptively build new vaccines, right? Walker goes on to say, if we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to have having a pharma company mutating blanking viruses. So that's like one of the things we're considering for, like, the future. Walker added, there's a lot more to this, but it's that. Here's the thing. So Tuskers, you know, when I heard it this morning, it helps to have it in quotes here from somebody that works at Pfizer. But I mean, we knew that. I mean, gain of function research, we knew that was the thing. That's what's happening, right? I guess just having the admission on that was of interest on that. All right, so thank you for that text, and let's head to Washington right now because it looks good. Line one. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl checking in with us. Thanks for your time, Congressman.
Hey, Sean, great to be with you.
Yeah, I know y'all are busy on votes. I don't know if you heard this. I just throw this into the mix. We're talking about that Project Veritas video with the Pfizer exec. Yeah, exec talking about the the gain of function and what they're doing with mutating viruses. Anything on y'all's to-do list in Washington or in the House for Republicans to revisit this subject?
So they're putting a committee together, which I probably will not be on, but they're putting a committee together to study all the COVID stuff. They're going to look into Fauci's role in it. They're going to look into where the virus actually came from. So they're going to go through all of that.
Okay,
that'll be a committee by itself. So I understand.
Is a 2023 thing? I mean, it's going to happen in
Probably already started. We're just getting our sub meetings today, subcommittee meetings, our assignments. So you'll start seeing things move next week.
Well,
you'll
wonder,
start seeing all these committees pulling together. You'll see these subcommittees coming together that are looking at things just like that. Comer's already working on obviously the Hunter Biden stuff. So there's a lot of moving parts, but you can't do a lot of that until you have a committee and people in place, which the McCarthy vote held us up, longer than we had anticipated. So, but we're moving now. We're moving.
I want to talk about visit this for a second. If people didn't hear us last time we talked, committee assignments too for you, a new one here. And as I said the other day, pretty significant for somebody that is pretty new to Washington like you are. Appropriations.
Yeah, I would say I'm living right. I'm doing something right. So
yep.
We're on appropriations. Today we found out we're on the subcommittees that we're on. We're actually on agriculture, so I'll be working on the farm bill, which is coming up this year. That's huge for our district, between peanuts and cattle and even shrimp. There's some shrimp in that farm bill also. Financial services, that's another subcommittee that I'll actually serve on with appropriations, which obviously is the banking industry, and the big one that we're looking at right now is the state. And foreign ops, which basically any money spent outside the U.S. will actually fall under that, whether it's an embassy, whether it is, it could be a country, it could be the Peace Corps, it could be a little bit of everything. But, what I'm trying to get people to understand, just because you're on appropriations doesn't mean you're spending money. It also gives you a chance to look at it and see where you can cut back. So we can look at some of this, what we consider wasteful spending on some of these very liberal programs in other countries and start chipping away at it.
I mean, but in the House, though, I mean, how much, with Democrats still controlling the Senate, I mean, how much of that, can you reduce that spending and have something make it through the Senate? Is there any traction there, some Democrats defaulting, or what do you think?
Well, I've been on this committee for a total of 3 days, so let's be realistic here. I don't have all the answers, but you can't hit them unless you swing at them, Sean. So we're working hard. We will work hard to get our moral issues and our feelings of our district into our financial side, and that's what it's about. But the other committee I actually got on is not just appropriations, but also natural resources, which I think is equally important for our district, with snapper fishing, with shrimp and oysters, with our petrified forest off the coast. We're trying to get that protected.
Good.
And of course our timber industry. So you look at the Alabama delegation, we've got virtually everything covered.
Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Another round? You talk about swinging at them with what we're looking at for snapper, allocation for next year. This big reduction. Do you have any ideas? Anything that can be done? Any readdressing of Magnuson up there? You have any kind of
I'm personally going to look. I still get a voice. Anything money is spent on, I get a voice. Doesn't mean they're going to bring it to me and ask me my opinion. But that's one I'm gonna pull the I'm gonna pull the bank statement on that one and see what where we're spending our money and how.
Okay.
I mean, I'm told, and you and I've had this conversation, but you know, it's always more money, more money, more money, more money fixes everything. Well, I'm for smaller government, and I think less money could fix a lot of problems that we have. So we'll take a look at it. That's NOAA. I think NOAA should, personally, I don't think they ought to be in the fisheries. I think they should stick with weather. But we'll see when I get in there. But we've got to do something to get their attention, because they pay absolutely no attention to the snapper issue, our voice in the snapper issue.
For sure. I'll second on that. I saw your tweet about the SPR. I guess it was yesterday or the day before. I saw Corinne Jean-Pierre at the press conference talking about, the great things President Biden's done for the American people with tapping the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Then I saw you tweet back on this and talk about H.R. 21. First of all, your opinion on tapping the SPR, and then what is H.R. 21? What does it do?
Well, that reserve is there for emergency purposes. It's not there to use for political purposes, and Biden has used it for political purposes. He used it to release it to try to bring the price of oil down. What H.R. 21 does is it will tie the president's hand in that if he wants to release any more of that oil, he has to give us a plan of how he's going to replace it with domestic oil. So we're doing two things here. We're trying to keep him from giving more of our resources away. And on the other hand, we're also trying to get him to help us do more drilling and get more of our domestic oil. And that will bring the price down. When we start using and burning our own domestic oil and encouraging more drilling, not just in the Gulf, but in the Dakotas and everywhere else, that will bring the price down. So that's basically what H.R. 21 is about. It's just trying to tie his hands up a little bit, because the way he's going to give it all away. Some of it wound up to China.
Excuse me?
China bid on it. China got I don't know how many million barrels.
Wait.
A bit of it went to China.
That we sold out of the SPR, we sold to China.
Yes. Very simple, yes.
The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which I've talked about on the show ad nauseum with the folks and read the language from the Energy Bureau and what it's for, and it went to China.
Yes, sir. Well, it's that simple.
At least me slack-jawed.
There's nothing that stops the president from doing stuff like that. So, I don't want to see us in a situation where we stop the president from able to have a voice, because we may totally disagree with this president, and the next president we get may be exactly what we want in office, and we don't want his hands tied where we need to use those. So we got to be careful. We can't restrict it to a point that we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot, that we'll pay for it later. But the biggest thing H.R. 21 does is it makes this president accountable for, okay, how are you going to replace it? Show us the domestic oil, where it's going to come from, where the supply and demand, where can you get this supply to fill this up? Because in reality, it doesn't exist. So he's going to literally have to say, okay, well, we're going to issue so many permits or so many bids on sites to be able to drill to make up for what we're shipping out. And that's what we're ultimately trying to do, is push him into a position. He keeps talking about 9,000 permits that have been issued, 9,000 mm-hmm. permits. Once those 9,000 permits get out there, then, you've got to start collecting all the other permits that go along with that one permit, which that's where the problems are. So we've got to loosen the government up. We're hoping that, because all he's got to do is with a stroke of a pen. That's what that bill's about, long story short.
Just joining us, talking to AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, from the SPR to Ukraine. And I talked about it yesterday. I don't know exactly why the sabers are rattling even more now from the Russians, because of the tanks versus the HIMARS, because I think the HIMARS have probably made more difference in Ukrainians' ability to fight back the Russians, and maybe the Bradleys will, but it seems to be ramped up. President comes out, says we're sending these, and then now has stepped back and said it's going to be a long time until we get them to Ukraine. Where are we? I mean, we've talked about helping Ukraine, but we also, in I think their last conversation or two times ago, said where do we stop? How far do we go?
And that's been my point. I very publicly voted on the first group of money, and I voted against the last group. This one I'm not feeling very good about at all. I've got a lot of mixed emotions up on this hill. I couldn't tell you if it comes to the vote for us to vote. I think they're trying to make things more public and beat a more positive drum here in the States. So people like myself will get pressure put on us, so we will change our mind and vote for it. On the other hand, I think the Russians are doing what the Russians are doing, trying to get their people to believe that they're winning the war. They certainly have got an avenue to win the war. So, we've got everybody playing these political games out in the press. In reality, I'm looking at the southern border going, my God, what are we doing for our own selves? How do we protect our own borders? We got a war going down in South Texas and Arizona, Southern California. I'm all for arming us down there. I'm tired of that and the fentanyl coming across and killing our kids and getting into our communities, destroying families. And, that's the war to me right now. But Ukraine is something we will be dealing with in the near future. It'll be some very mixed votes. I know some delegates from Alabama that are very strong in support of sending more aid to them. So it'll be a debate we'll have. I've got a lot of questions that would have to be answered before I even got near shifting my support for that. But as I stand right now, I am not in support of sending any more money or resources to Ukraine. If you look at some of that ammunition we've sent them over there, it's going to take 8 years to replace some of that ammunition. What happens if we have a war in 3 years?
Right, I mean,
we don't have 100% stock.
Right. Well, we're lining up two things. First thing we're talking about is the SPR that we're selling down the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and the shocking part of it going sub to China, selling that down so we don't have the full coffers there. The fluid of war is oil, and then you're telling me we're going 8 years in arrear in ammunition for our military to give it to Ukraine.
Yeah, I think it's the Stinger missile. Isn't it Stinger that's made in Troy?
I think that's the Javelin.
It'll take 8 years at current production to fulfill where we actually started shipping out from. Now, granted, a lot of the weapons we sent them were outdated. We would consider them old weapons, still usable, still do the job. But we've got more technology. We make them faster, slicker, and harder to detect now. But you've still got you've still got that vacancy. And these are American jobs, granted, making it. But we're still looking at 8 years out on that. Now we'll do some things. You'll see some. Defense companies probably open up some new lines, and we'll ramp up the manufacturing of it. But the way it is right now, it's an 8-year window, so I'm told.
Wow. As we wrap up here, too, I saw a tweet from you about this, and this is something we've talked about at a state level, but as a part of the federal delegation, you commented on National School Choice Week. Governor Ivey mentioned it, has given few details other than paneling commissions, this and that. I mean, what would you say from the federal side, and as a resident of the state of Alabama, what's your take on school choice and what does that mean?
So my wife and my daughter both are public school teachers. My wife's retired, but so I'm surrounded, and my daughter-in-law is a private school teacher, so I'm surrounded by teachers. I'm all for private school systems. I'm all for even homeschool kids make incredible college students, and that confuses most people. But I had a college professor tell me that one night at dinner. They're used to having to go find the answers. They're not used to people telling them where to go look. So they make great students. They got great study habits. So I'm all for opening the system up to more private school systems. We've got to be careful. Obviously, we pull all the money out. There's not going to be public school system at all for the kids that cannot afford to go outside. So there's not a magic on and off switch on this. But I'm for not getting the conversations going, but actually get moving and let's start letting our kids take some tax credits and go use them in a private school system.
There we go. Congressman, I appreciate your time. I know you got a very, very busy day on the Hill, so thank you for checking in with
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Sean.
And we'll talk
thank
again real
so
soon.
Thank you so much. God bless District 1.
That's right. Thank you. There he is, Congressman Jerry Carl. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile. Got your text to get to and some phone calls, plus prehistoric fish coming up in the next hour. Stories about prehistoric fishes. Yeah, that's on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Just thinking forward to the weekend programming here at FM Talk 106.5. You know, I mean, we do a thing that's pretty darn rare in this world anymore. Live shows, local shows on every day of the week, even Saturdays, even Sundays. But I was thinking about, I mean, so my buddy Bill Finch, who has plane gardening for the Gulf Coast on Sundays here, and I've been leaning on him all the potato questions, and I just realized it's about to be, for sure, potato. I know this applies to about seven of us out there, but it's potato planting time, and I can't wait for him to hopefully talk about that on this weekend's show. And if you don't catch Bill live from 9 to 11 on Sunday mornings, it replays Sunday afternoon, and you can get the podcast, which is super popular. You can get the podcast of the show by going through our app, our website, any of the podcast platforms out there. If you need help on doing that, just send me a text and I'll direct you the right way. Oh my gosh, so many texts. Let me get a couple of these texters in. Unnamed texter, Sean, this is stupid. We are letting the president and the Democrats are giving away all our money to foreign countries that could give a crap less about us and now selling our strategic oil reserves to China. I'm not a smart man, but wow, it seems like a very bad business. Grand Bay Gary, what's up, Grand Bay? We need to get down there soon. Said, hashtag, well, I don't know what that hashtag is, but it says, go Jerry Carl, tell it like it is, what Jerry said. Tusker says, thank you, Sean. Going to tell Jerry Carl thank you also. Thank you for having him and having him on your show. Brandon is treasonous. I love Jerry Carl's opinion. America first. Stop the aid to Ukraine. But, and how about the simple, well, there's a certain amount, like I said, I've been pro-Ukraine, but you have to have, like with anything, you have to say, how much will we do? You know what the government military complex wants, but how much will the rest of us do? And if we sell off the SPR and it ends up in China's hands, yeah, my gosh.